It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast. Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
I'm here.
You're here.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, as you can tell.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
Yeah. So much joy and excitement.
Good. At least you're feigning your enthusiasm. We're also joined this week by the senior vice president of content relating to t-shirt jerseys, Michael Clare. Welcome to the Cut Forecast.
Thank you for the promotion. This is so exciting.
I know. Well, you know, it's the time, it's the giving season, and I feel like you needed a new title. That's my holiday gift to you.
Well, thank you so much. I can't wait to write out my own business cards on construction paper and send them to my parents.
Great. Perfect.
In crayon, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Right.
We have a lot to talk about. Some might say too much to talk about, I would think. It's just going to be a jam-packed episode of the Cut Forecast. We're going to discuss which baseball player would make the best Olympic athlete. Sadly, baseball is not currently in the Olympics.
Yeah,
it was once. It might still be again.
Yeah.
In the future, hopefully by the time they return to Japan in
2020.
Hopefully they'll be back by then. We'll see. But until then, we have some alternate plans for some current Major League athletes. We'll also discuss who we would want to round out our Major League bowling teams. That could be fun.
It'd be so much fun.
Stay tuned. You'll enjoy that. And then finally, we'll be creating our own bobblehead that we want to see a moment or a player immortalized in bobblehead form. So that'll be awesome. But before we get to all of that, it's back. I know it went away last week, but it's back this week. It is the Cut Forecast pop quiz.
I was hoping it would be a gift that you would give me, but...
It is a gift. I'm giving you, I'm giving Claire, and you listening at home, you're all getting this wonderful gift, and it is the factoid that is being presented in this trivia question.
Okay.
Gemma, how prepared do you feel?
I feel extremely unprepared.
Great.
As always.
As it should be. Claire, how prepared do you feel?
Well, I've got a number of baseball annuals open before me.
Open book.
So... Yeah, hit me up.
Yeah, well, it's not an open book exam, Claire, so we're going to need
you to put that down. Can you even stop him there? Are you going to fly to LA?
Yeah, it's like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire when they would do the phone a friend and the person was obviously Googling the answer.
Yeah.
all right, here we go. Here's the question. It's Hall of Fame season. That's upon us. Upon us. I don't know why I got an accent there for a minute.
Upon plus
it's
bonus?
Upon us.
I was really confused.
Hall of Fame season is upon us. So let's talk career war amongst Hall of Fame ballot individuals, shall we?
Okay.
Here's the pop quiz. Who has more career wins above replacement? New Marlins hitting coach Barry Bonds or Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Mussina combined?
I feel like based on how much you love Barry Bonds, it has to be Barry Bonds. Like that would just be the way... that it would be set up. So you can be like, can you even believe that this one guy?
Maybe.
But I also know that you like tricks, so it could be the other way around. Claire, what do you think?
So let's see. If I remember right, Griffey finished about round 100, and I have to imagine he's seen as around 60, so it's going to be close with what Bonds is at, like 162. So I'm going to go Bonds by like 1.5.
Jem, what do you think?
I feel like I'm going to... I mean, I guess I'll just pick the other one because I do feel that you would do a trick question
Messina
like that.
And
because I also agree with Claire that it's got to be real close.
It is really close. They're separated by just roughly 4 wins, and it's actually Griffey and Messina with 166.6. Bonds is close with 162.4.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is Baseball Reference War, which actually is Griffey a little bit lower than I think you had him, Claire. I think he's like in the high 80s. But some of that is just war is a counting stat, and so the fact that he played a slightly shorter career, I think, is part of that. But regardless, they're really close, which is amazing. We did a post about Barry Bonds and the Marlins organization, his new team. Make sure to check that out at MLB.com/cut4. Claire, what are your thoughts on this? Are you surprised?
I think I'm surprised that Griffey was lower. I actually just pulled up Fangraphs for, and he's even lower there.
Yeah.
At 77, and that just breaks my heart because in H War, which is Heart War, he's at 1,000.
Yeah, he might have the highest H War of any player in history.
Also, I just want you guys to realize that Heart War is probably like the name of the next Assassin's Creed franchise, like game.
Or Assassin's or my Creed Heart emo War. Record. My first yeah. emo record is Heart War. That's also going to be released spring of 2016. Keep an eye out for that. But yeah, no, Griffey, 1,000 H War.
For definitely. Sure. For sure.
Wow. Yeah. That was a great pop quiz, though. I loved that pop quiz. Aww. That was fun. I learned something and was entertained.
See, you know what? Thank you, Claire. For once, somebody appreciates
Claire,
my pop quiz.
Don't tell him nice things. He's just going to get way too involved.
Some people are a little bit negative about the pop quiz. Anyway, let's move on. Now that I've finally gotten the affirmation that I've longed for my entire life, let's move on here to our first question. Now, this comes to us because of Instagram, interestingly enough.
Does it?
It does. Oh. In the past week and a half, there's been this trend amongst Major League Baseball players of posting videos of them performing insane box jumps yeah. in the gym. It's one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. There's a video of Bryce Harper leaping through the air and landing on a box. Then Steven Souza out-jumped him.
Uh-huh.
And then Brett Lowry out-jumped both of them. And it's amazing. And this arms race is continuing. It's astonishing. And first of all, it seems terrifying. I don't know why anybody does this. Gemma, would you leap through the air and land on a box?
I would try, but I would inevitably fall. I would hurt myself right. badly. Like, they just seem like video game characters.
Yeah, and they're doing it effortlessly.
Yeah, it's like, you know how in like Yoshi games you can jump on the flowers or mushrooms and you bounce higher? That's what it looks like to me.
That is
they
what
all look like old dinosaurs jumping on various pieces of flora.
Claire, how high can you jump if we were to put like a platform in front of you and you had to jump on top of it?
What,
like?
Well, here's the thing. I'm one of those people that, like, if I have to change, like, a light bulb in a ceiling fan, mm-hmm. I'm one of the people who's, like, on a chair and it's like, oh, I don't know about this.
So not so, like, a phone book, maybe? That's, like, the...
Yeah, maybe a phone book.
Yeah.
I like to stay on the ground where the least chance of me falling and killing myself.
Well, see, this that's the difference between you and or us collectively.
Can you box jump really?
No.
Are you going to do an Instagram video of yourself box jumping?
that would be the last Instagram video I ever posted. But that's the difference between us, the Cut 4 staff, and these amazing professional athletes. But here's why I bring all this up.
Uh-huh.
This got us thinking that obviously MLB's athletes are amazing, and there are a variety of athletic pursuits that they could put their skills to and also be amazing at them. For example, the Olympics are coming up next year in Rio de Janeiro.
Yes.
That's amazing. Well, what if we sent a team of MLB players to compete in the Olympics? Who should go? What events should they compete in? These are the questions that plague the thoughts of every member of the Cut 4 staff.
That's true.
I think about this all the time. I'm sure you do as well. And I'm sure you listening think about this all the time, but thankfully we're here to help answer that question. Gemma, since you got it right, we're going to go with you first.
Great.
And since you're here and in my eyesight,
since you can actually just see me here.
Why don't you go first? Let us know who you think would make the best Olympian and in which sport you would like to see them compete.
I thought about a bunch of, because a lot of those guys have played other sports, you know.
Right.
But they tend to be football players, additionally. So I was thinking about, like, what Olympic sports are there that are fun, that I like to watch? I really like track and field events, so I thought, you know, there are a lot of fast guys in MLB. I'm sure some of them could definitely be competitive. You know, you could just train to work up from that 90 feet thing to, 100 meters, and then, you know, et cetera. But then I decided I think my actual favorite thing to watch in the Olympics, besides gymnastics, is those guys whose entire sport is just being really strong, that they just go up and pick up really heavy stuff, and then that's it. That's the whole event.
You mean weightlifting?
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay. So I was like, Justin Bour and Evan Gattis, they can just go compete in these events because they're just big dudes, just like really big dudes. And all those guys are really big dudes, and I feel like they could succeed at that.
Well, here's my concern. If we did send Evan Gattis, is that he would lift up the barbell to pick up the weight, and it would just break in his hands because he would just
and then
crush
auto
it with
goals.
His strength.
They'd be like, wow, this is right. this whole, we've been waiting for this ever since we first had this event at the very first reunited Olympics in 1896 in Athens.
There you are.
We've been waiting
I
for
was
a
waiting
guy
for a gem effect.
So strong to come out here and just literally crush the weights, to crush the competition. And if you haven't get us.
All right.
And then he would walk away, and his footprints would leave little lakes.
Okay.
So, yep. Gemma, question for you. Is your idea of the Olympics, it's not competing against your fellow man. The point is to eventually reach a point where someone defeats the event itself.
Yes.
And no one ever does it ever again.
Yes.
That was the Olympics.
Yes, yes. Because that's why there are always so many events. We're just waiting to get baseball back. So if he can actually defeat the concept of weightlifting, then there'll be room for baseball to come back.
I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah, that's what it all is. It's when someone's just so good at the event that we never need to do it again. And then new sports can come in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that'll free up baseball.
That'll free up a spot for baseball. Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, eventually someone will defeat baseball in like a century plus, and then there will be competitive hoverboarding or whatever. I have no idea.
I think I would be very good at competitive hoverboarding.
Yeah, great.
I See? Finally found a sport for me, one that requires me to exert zero energy whatsoever. All right. That's an interesting. Do you have any other Olympic factoids for us in addition to the year the first Olympics were held, the first modern Olympics?
What else would you like to know?
I don't know. What else do you got? You're full of facts.
That one came
to
me.
Just
gonna
sprinkle? You're going
to
sprinkle them
in. I'm going to sprinkle them in.
All right, cool. That's fine. Claire, who do you think would make the best Olympian and in which sport?
All right. So I've got a couple. Jenna mentioned speed, and so, you know, yeah, you'd want maybe Billy Hamilton, but actually I want Rico Noel, real name Jablonski. he was timed going 3.47 seconds, going first to second. That was fastest in the majors. So I want to see him going up in the 1500. I want him to run every single one of them, and I want him to have to run them consecutively, though. Like, really show that speed. Like, just doesn't stop.
I don't think that's how speed works, but go ahead.
I then want Andrelton Simmons doing that gymnast floor dance they do. I don't remember the name.
What?
Like when they're on the mat and they're kind of like dancing around.
Oh, like synchronized?
Like, it's
rhythmic gymnastics. Yes.
It's like isn't it the floor routine? Is that what it's called?
There's a few. There's a few different genres of gymnastics. Uh-huh. I think you're looking for the rhythmic gymnastics.
Yeah.
So he's flexible. He's fast. He's got this just inherent rhythm when you watch him feel the ground ball. Like, you start, like, you know how, like, when you're driving in a car and you start, like, head dancing? When Andrelton Simmons makes a great play, you start, like, doing that same thing while watching. I just want to see him just do that for 2 minutes. And then, finally, I want Josh Kohlmenter in the shot put, and if they have axe throwing.
That's how axe throwing gets in, you know? All these other sports have to fade away. Axe throwing.
I like axe throwing. That's a good one. So
Is that not in it?
Axe throwing?
No, there's the hammer toss.
Same thing, right? The hammer, throwing axe.
Hammers that exist.
It's not really a hammer, but okay. That's
I wish
fine.
They're just like, hey, can someone go get us a bag of hammers?
Yeah, it's not the bag o' hammers toss. That would be extremely dangerous. So that would not be good. That's impossible to spectate. Because at any second, it could just rip open.
Yeah.
Just fly.
Hammers just flying throughout the crowd.
You don't want that. That wouldn't be good.
Yeah, that would be really dangerous.
But so I thought about this as well. I obviously hit on the obvious Billy Hamilton 100-meter dash. I think we all thought about that. Then I, too, thought about shot put. But I thought shot put isn't just, like, big, strong guy. It also has to be, like, a way of life. Like, shot putters are a very specific kind of Olympic athlete. So I thought Madison Bumgarner would be good at
that. Oh, he would probably be a really good shot putter.
Mm-hmm. Right? The other alternative would also be the hammer toss for him, because we saw from that ad he has experience swinging a hammer in that motion that you would do. So, but what I landed on, ultimately, was Yoenis Cespedes for the javelin toss. As we know, the dude has an amazing arm.
Yeah.
And so if he just launches one, he could send that javelin dangerously close to the stands. That's my feeling.
I would watch that 100%. I think he would win.
Yeah. I think he would win.
Do you guys know that I used to throw shot put?
You used to throw shot put?
I'm very small, podcast listeners. In terms of how high I can jump, like, probably anyone could jump higher than I am tall, because I'm very short. And I'm very scrawny. Like, many pretzel sticks. So me throwing shot put was not like good.
You could do it.
I did throw a shot put. I think the best I ever did was come in fourth.
That's really good.
I was fast. I was a fast runner. I did really well when I was on track as a runner. But you had to do one field event, and so it was like, do I want a long jump? No. Do I want a high jump? No. I guess I'll throw a shot put, and
so
that was it.
Let me ask, because it seems like one of those things that people would be like, it's all about strength, but it's probably not, right? It's about form?
It's about form. It's a lot about form.
Right.
Because I was way less like lazy then when I was doing athletic events, so I did actually have more strength. But it's a
How
lot
far
about.
How far did you throw it?
I don't even remember. I'd have to look at my. I can find it for you.
More or less than 3 feet.
More.
I was supposed to.
But it's a lot about just like how you plant your lower body,
interesting.
Your feet.
I bet you could out shot put me, because I don't think I could throw a shot put like across this room, which this is a studio. It's very
not
small.
Big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Claire, what Olympic event do you think you should compete in if you could compete in one? We already have we have our resident shot.
I mean, I would not even make it out of the Olympic trials, but.
No, you're in clearly. Claire, what do you got?
Is there like a typing speed or competitive like Cheeto eating, but that's more about endurance than speed?
I don't know. I could see you in gymnastics.
Yeah, you and Anderton, rhythmic gymnastics.
Yeah, like, you know, what do? The vault? You could do the vault.
Oh, yeah.
No vault for me, man. You got a lot of ups on that. That's, we're talking.
What about, like,
springboard?
Handball.
Oh, I love handball.
Yeah,
that would be
cool.
What I would pick.
Right?
That's fun. All right.
I don't know. Is axe throwing a sport? I mean, you know, I don't think we ever really got down whether it was or wasn't. So axe throwing is in all. Let's try that one.
Axe throwing it is.
All right. Whole
Perfect.
New sport just for Claire.
Perfect for you. Yeah, you've already won the gold medal because you're the only competitor in that event. All right, well, let's move on here to this next one. And this is interesting. Mookie Betts, Red Sox, what's a great word? Phenom.
Yeah, that's good.
Future statue recipient outside of Fenway Park.
Mm-hmm.
Just general wonderful human being, Mookie Betts, is, in addition to being an amazing baseball player, also an amazing bowler. Fun fact, he is competing in the World Series of Bowling and is not in last place, as though any of us would be if we tried to instantly do somebody else's job, which he is doing, and he is amazing at it. So Mookie Betts has the ability of a professional bowler. He's a two-sport star. So we've discussed two sports stars all the time. That's passé. That's boring. Mm-hmm. Here's the real question. Other than Mookie, let me do this. Here's an idea. I'm going to give you a hypothetical, guys. And here's the hypothetical. You are in a bowling tournament. Mookie Betts is the captain of the other bowling team.
Uh-huh.
You have to fill out your bowling foursome on your team with three major league players who are not Mookie Betts.
Okay.
Who are those three players? Gemma, we started with you, so Claire will start with you.
Okay, well, this one is I think this one's much easier than an Olympic squad. I think baseball players are inherently excellent bowlers,
mm-hmm.
just from the skills involved. So we're going to start off with Bartolo Colon.
Okay.
He has got this strong, solid core. He had the fewest walks per nine last year, and you obviously want someone with a lot of control, obviously. What is bowling but a control game, you know? So you want Colon. He's got all those different fastballs. He's got the 7-10 split. Boom, he just has this great arm side a little bit. Great, that's done. Then we're going to go pure power behind him. We're going Brett Lowry, because I actually saw a video of him bowling a strike last night. I don't know where. It was like on someone's Facebook. He bowled a strike, and you know he's going to care. Every video I've ever seen him in, both on the field or off, ends with him, like, screaming and, like, he's so into it. And that's what you need on a bowling team, is not only someone who's good, but someone who's going to unite them, and everyone's going to come around to it. And then finally, I'm wrapping up the team with Tyson Ross, who's just got that, like, real easy, like, 1940s pitcher motion, which I think is just going to really translate really well to a bowling team.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good list.
This is a really good list.
You put a lot of thought into this.
You clearly did. Yeah.
Spent hours, you know, yeah. up all night.
I mean, I think...
That's hours well spent, I
you
think.
You could definitely put up a real challenge to Mookie Betts.
Certainly to Mookie Betts' team and to our teams that we're going to come up with.
I'm sure. Oh, definitely to my team.
Sounds like Gemma really knocked this one out of the park. Well, don't worry. We'll add in the hilarious laughter in post-production. Gemma, what... three players would you pick for your team?
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm a garbage bowler.
Okay.
Like a truly terrible bowler. At my old summer camp job when I still lived in Michigan, we'd all have a staff bonding thing every year and we'd always go bowling. We had this bowling pin where you would write the best score on it and the worst score on it. I was the worst for at least 3 years in a row. And 1 year, no one can beat my low score because I hit one pin the entire time.
When was
one
how long
pin.
Ago was this?
I was like 16 probably when this happened.
But you were like, you were mostly an adult.
I was. I wasn't trying to do a bad job. Like,
yeah.
I'm just not a good bowler.
You weren't like a child who doesn't have their
motor skills. I was mostly an adult. It was around the same time I was third shot put.
only get one pin.
And then, okay, that was one game I hit one pin, and then later in the evening, I think my high score for the whole evening was 47. I'm a bad bowler, is what I'm trying to say.
Hang on, I have a lot of questions. So, were you just putting them in the gutter all the time?
Yes. Okay. Like, I was just, I think it's because I was trying. I, like, knew this all this, like, steps that you were supposed to do, and I kept trying to, like, do this.
So it swerved.
Yeah,
the...
and I couldn't do it. I could never get
and
it to swerve
correctly.
And you
didn't do, like, the old lady between the legs?
No, I didn't do it.
No?
I eventually just went to just, like... straight up rolling it straight, and I would hit like three pins every time. It was terrible. But I'm a really bad bowler. So I picked people who would probably not care that much, and we could just have fun bowling together.
Okay.
You know, like when you go to the bowling alley with your friends, and you get some pizza, and like pitcher of beer, and you hang out, and like, sure, Mookie could be really competitive, but when we all win, when we all lose, we'll think it's hilarious, and we'll just make t-shirts with our faces on it and go out. So I went with Hunter Pence.
Okay.
We have a great time. I'm sure however he bowls would be crazy if it's anything to, if we're going to base it off of the way he swings at a baseball.
Yeah.
I'm sure watching him walk up to bowl would be delightful. Munenori Kawasaki.
Yes.
Because he'd probably also not be the world's greatest bowler, but would have an amazing time trying to bowl.
Absolutely.
And you know that, like, maybe we could go to one of those bowling alleys that's like Blacklight Bowling Alley. Cosmic bowling. Cosmic bowling. He could wear like a neon outfit. It would be amazing. And then I also had Bartolo on my team, but if he's busy being serious with Claire, I guess I'll take my backup, who's Sean Doolittle, just because he also clearly has a sense of humor and doesn't take very many things outside of baseball seriously. So it's bowling. We'll just hang out.
Hey, it's
good
bowling.
Time.
Yeah. Get some pizza and do the whole bowling.
It'll be so much fun. We'll lose
that
to all of your teams.
Disgusting, Gemma. Bowling's the sport of champions and kings. You got to be ready to bring it when you step out on that lane.
Yeah, you see, he's questioning your toughness.
That's okay. Again, I'm not going to be emotionally crushed when Mookie Betts beats my bowling team.
You know, I feel like
I'll be eating chicken wings.
I feel like you're not respecting
with my buddy Hunter Pence.
That's my issue with it. The sanctity of the game, I think, has been ruined.
We're gonna ask for bumpers. I just want you guys to know.
Unbelievable. Mookie would be very sad. So my team. Now, first of all, I kind of went in the middle of what the two of you guys are doing. I wanted a team that I would have a really good time with, that we would all hang out, it would be hilarious, we'd all laugh. But when it came time to, like, do our business, we would do our business. And then we would laugh and hang out, and it would be awesome. So, like, the perfect middle is what I was shooting for. This is the team I landed on. Marcus Stroman.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's great.
Good
competitor,
pick.
Hilarious, good time. And as we all know, height doesn't measure heart.
You know what? I really believe that as well.
I think so too. So that kind of inspirational message would be a good thing for our team to aspire toward. And my second player, Curtis Granderson.
I love him.
Love Curtis Granderson. Mm. One of the most likable players in the league. What was meh? What is that? I heard a meh, Claire.
Not for me.
Oh, I didn't hear. No, that was an.
Oh, like,
yeah.
He's judging your team on their.
Yeah, I don't know.
Claire thinks he can beat your team.
Don't
that's
hate.
Well, listen, I think I can win, but that's a great pick.
Well, that's the other thing, is he can get it done in the clutch, as he's proven time and again. Mm-hmm. Love Curtis Granderson. And finally, probably this one is our best player. He's our ringer, because I have a feeling that he's really good at bowling, uh-huh. even though I don't know that for a fact. But he also might bring his dog. That's right, it's David Price,
aww.
New ace of the Boston Red Sox. And I feel like he's a really good bowler. I don't know that.
No, I was going to pick both Stroman and David Price, but then I thought they're both really cool guys, and I think they would be really fun, but I don't know if they would be, they're super competitive as well.
That's why they're on the team.
And they might not be able to, like, chill out with my, like, whatever bowling stance.
See, that's the thing. We hang out, and then when it's time to
they really bring it.
We're going to, like, really go for it.
Yeah, I feel like that actually puts up a strong competition against Claire's team.
I think we'd put up a strong competition against Mookie Betts.
Really?
I do.
I still think Mookie would beat all of you.
He is a pro. He is in the World Series of bowling, and none of us are.
That's true.
I can't.
Are you guys
that.
Good bowlers? Like, no. I told you my embarrassing I am a garbage bowler
story. I'm
not
that bad, but I'm also not particularly good. My brother, fun fact, he'll, like, sprint toward the alley, and at the last second, it looks like he's going to fall down and slide down the alley, and he just sort of, like, flings it, and he's the best of anyone in my feet. He always wins, even though it's, like, he's, like, out of control, and it looks like at any second he could go down the alley as well, but nope, he releases it for strikes. Most amazing thing I've ever seen.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. But no, I'm not nearly that good or Mookie good, but I'm better than you.
Yeah, it's not hard to be better than me.
I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
Claire, are you good at bowling?
I would say, the last time I went, things started to click for the first time. But I would say my motion is a lot like Mark Redmond, if you remember. He was the left-hander who had this sort of, like, jerky motion, and he would kind of, like, come from the side and that we had, which is like in the mid-80s. So, yeah, I don't look good doing it. I don't really do well doing it, but I'll get to like 100.
Oh, sometimes. That's good. 100 is good. That's
probably
better than what I do.
Higher than I've ever been able to get in bowling.
Yeah, I do like the shoes though.
Ew.
Well, no, I don't like that they're worn by a million, but I like the aesthetic of the shoes.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see, like, in the aesthetic.
90s.
Yes.
Yeah, and I stole a pair in high school, so I was like, I am so cool. Check me out.
That's
that is
amazing.
Not surprising. That is, like, the least surprising thing I've heard all day. That you stole a pair of bowling shoes. Did you also wear bowling shirts?
I did.
What's a bowling shirt? Like Big Lebowski? Like those shirts?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. It's like Chandler Bing.
Shirts. Okay, so just Kingpin. Just the movie Kingpin.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
we've gone totally off the rails or into the gutters, if you will.
Where I always am while bowling.
Get out. You know what? Done. That over.
Yeah, you're right. Podcast over. Now, all right, let's move on here to our final topic. Now, this is just, it's the off season. And it's the time to wonder these things, and that's how we landed on this question. Mm-hmm. Just the synapses of our mind firing randomly throughout the day, they happened to fire in such an order as it triggered this question. And the question is this. Which player or moment from the baseball season, doesn't have to be 2015, it could be any season,
okay.
do you want to see immortalized in bobblehead form? Obviously, there are tons and tons of bobbleheads of all different shapes and sizes. And if you could create one, what would it be, Gemma?
I try to think of a bobblehead that would be just an interesting bobblehead to have, like a weird way, not just like someone's head bouncing up and down, you know? Mm. I want it to capture the moment of what's going on. So then I thought, like, maybe I want like a fan catch bobblehead. That would be kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Then I thought maybe specifically this would take a lot of work.
Hey, no, we're in
this
the
would
world.
Have to, okay,
yeah.
So this is like a big bobblehead. It would have to have like a liquid reservoir in it. Okay. Because you remember that fan who caught the ball in her beer.
Right.
So I would like a fountain bobblehead of this woman's catch in the beer cup, and then like the beer would flow down the sides of it.
Wow, that's elaborate.
Yeah, yeah. It that's would be good. Very elaborate, but it would also be soothing because then it would be like having a whole fountain in your room.
That's true, a little mini fountain.
Yeah, a little mini fountain.
A bobble fountain.
A bobble fountain. I was trying to think of ways to innovate on the bobblehead form.
A bobble bath?
A bobble bath! That was so good!
Thank you. Thank you. You boo 90% of the time, and I'll come through in that 10%.
That was excellent.
Claire, what do you got? What's your bobblehead?
So as much as I love that one, and I actually am, you know, as soon as we're done, I'm going to be contacting the manufacturer to do. I want the Pat Venditti double bobble arm.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah. So finally made it to the majors, was really good, really exciting. I want both arms to be able to bobble, and I would like, since he switches his glove off, I'd like a little removable glove so I can be like, well, actually, he's pitching right-handed right now. You know, whenever people come over and I just bring them directly to my bobblehead, please leave.
I imagine, actually, that you have, like a giant cabinet of curiosities, and you fling open the doors, and it's just hundreds and hundreds of shaking bobbleheads.
See, I picture his entire apartment is just filled to the brim with this stuff, and he opens the door like a hermit, and it's like the whole walls are covered all the way up into like an archway. There's no sunlight. It's just baseball trinkets and obscure jerseys of players from the late 90s.
Oh, see, I'm picturing tons of natural light. I'm picturing it's like Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
And he's like, come into my library. That's Little Mermaid. And then all the light comes through the windows and there are all these shelves, but instead of just books, it's just hundreds of thousands of jerseys and caps. And then there's like a ladder that you can coast around on.
Yes.
And like Claire, look at comics.
How accurately have we just described your apartment?
Considering that my floor is currently covered in comics and that my shelves are covered in bobbleheads, yeah, you pretty much got it. Also know why my girlfriend is frequently stressed by the feeling that the weight of all these collapsing around her.
Well, good. That sounds healthy. That's good. So here's one more question for you. You mentioned it being a bobble arm. How does that work? Does it rotate like he's throwing, or is it like the Peanuts dance, or just the shoulders go up and down?
It's so like you'd have the sleeve, and then within the sleeve you could then bobble. You know, the way you touch the head, the arm would then bobble once you kind of, you know, bounce it a little bit. So yeah, both would kind of move back and forth and up and down, sort of like on a spring.
Yeah, well, I like that.
I like it too. I like the interactive element of getting to switch the glove.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. So mine, I have two. The first one is the one I really want. And actually, we'll save that. We'll do that one in a second.
Okay. I know what it is. I actually already know what it is.
Gemma, what is it then? What's the one I'm thinking of?
It's going to be Tori Hunter going over the wall.
It is Tori Hunter going over the wall in right center field at Fenway Park. That's great. There's currently a bullpen cop bobblehead that exists celebrating game two of the 2013 ALCS between the Red Sox and the Tigers. A game-tying grand slam in the eighth inning. And Tori Hunter unfortunately couldn't make the catch. It was inches from his glove.
Don't say unfortunately like that.
It was so unfortunate.
Are there any... Okay, I need someone to make a word cloud of every podcast and just find out how many times Dakota says David Ortiz hit a grand slam.
It's every 2013 podcast, which unfortunately ALCS. Is too few, sadly. So that was one. Was Tori Hunter going over the wall, as you know. But the other one I thought of, I think you'll like this one.
Will I?
Is honoring Game 4 of the NLDS this year between the Cubs and Cardinals, in which Kyle Schwarber hit a massive home run that landed atop the Wrigley Field scoreboard, and they discovered it days later. And this is what I was thinking, is it could be a bobblehead of him swinging the bat, and then the ball kind of bounces kind of like on top of the scoreboard. Like, it's a little guy.
How big is this bobblehead?
It's not big, but like it would be
a scale reproduction of Wrigley Field.
I mean, I would love a scale reproduction of Wrigley Field, but no, it would just be like, because it'd be stylized, abstracted. So you'd have like the guy with his bat and it would swing, and then there'd be the scoreboard at the other end of the little platform that the bobblehead
is on.
And you could see a little ball.
And the ball would shake?
Yeah, the ball would like rattle and settle.
That's cute.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
That would be
good. If you don't like that one, I can get you the Tori Hunter going over the wall at Fenway Park. I know you would appreciate that as a Tigers fan.
Will throw it out of a window.
Good.
It'll be really cathartic for me. No, I wouldn't. I would keep it.
As long as you have catharsis, that's really what bobbleheads are all about.
Catharsis?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you'll find that in Aristotle's Poetics.
All right. Well, you know, this has been just chaos. So let's sum it all up in 140 characters, as we do at the end of every show, for a single tweet that encapsulates the whole podcast. All the, you know, the world is chaotic, so why shouldn't the Cut Forecast be chaotic? Claire, I know you'll agree with me on that. So let us sum it up. 140 characters. Claire, you got it wrong. So our pop quiz, or at the beginning of the show, you got that wrong.
Yeah, I think I'm 0-3 in pop quizzes now, so I'm doing great.
I've gotten, it's just, I've only gotten more right because I'm here every time.
Really, the point is for those listening to feel superior to all of us.
Yeah, it is.
They'll know the answer to these.
And
so they can be like, oh, gosh, these people don't know anything. Mm-hmm. All right, Claire, 140 characters. What have you got?
All right. My tweet, which I have been spending hours composing, I'm certainly not stalling for time to try and come up with something.
I like that you've been composing it for hours using your time machine to just relive this half an hour over and over and over again.
Why are
it's
you
like
letting
Groundhog
him stall?
Day. I keep waking up and we're in the middle of a podcast and I hear Tori Hunter going over the wall and I wake up and I hear Tori Hunter going over the wall.
I am not going to allow any more stalling. That was well done from the two of you. Claire, what do you got? Give us your tweet.
All right. My tweet, get ready for the Olympics with Bartolo Colon bowling and Tori Hunter catching axes. Hashtag hashtag Tori Hunter over the wall.
Oh my goodness.
So
catching axes.
I really hope that Tori Hunter is not catching axes for his sake.
Really dangerous.
That does not sound like it should be an Olympic sport. If you're listening, please do not attempt to catch an axe. Don't do that. That is not the official position of the Cup Podcast. Do not catch an axe. Gemma, save us here.
No, I get to go
Someone's
last.
Someone's got to catch it. What are you going to do?
You're right.
Throw it into a tree or the dirt. What are you?
Do not. No one's catching it. That's a terrible idea,
no
Claire.
No one has to catch anything that anyone throws.
Claire, you have to delete your Twitter account. That's clearly the punishment.
Oh, man, did I just get a deactivate?
You got deactivated.
Deactivate.
We've gone completely off the rails.
I'm really proud of myself.
Okay.
All right, listen, bobble bath.
You can't boo me for the bobble bath. All right, you get to go last. I will do my 140 character tweet right now, and it is thus. Baseball is back in the Olympics, : Yoenis Cespedes throwing the javelin. Mookie Betts bowling, parentheses, question mark. Hashtag cut forecast. Hashtag MLB Olympians.
Is that gonna fit?
We'll find out.
I guess we will find out in a few minutes
when I attempt to tweet it.
Find out.
All right, that was not very good. Gemma, please beat my tweet and don't offer dangerous words of wisdom like Claire.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna steal part of yours, just a little bit though.
That's fine.
It's gonna be dot at MLB in the Olympics. Listen to the Cup Forecast to hear how Evan Gattis defeats everyone.
That's good.
That's it.
That's good.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I'd like it. That was better than mine. The mine was not very good. But if you, listening, if you have a better tweet that sums up this podcast into 140 characters, please tweet it at us, at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. And while you're there, you can follow us on Twitter, at Cut4. And you can tweet other random things at us.
Whenever.
Hashtag Cut4Cast.
That's cool.
That's fine, too. We'll read
We want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd love it. What are you? You're at Gemma Kaneko.
I'm at Gemma Kaneko.
I'm at Dakota Gardner. Claire, what are you?
I am at Claire Bear Attack.
At Claire
Very
Bear
serious
Attack.
Name.
Yeah,
so
good job.
Serious.
Way to sign up like a pro on Twitter. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. And you can read all of the things that we write on mlb.com/cut4. Gemma, what is your favorite thing you've written that you want people to read right now?
I wrote this post about a bunch of weird stuff named after baseball players, and I really like that. There's a spider that throws balls of spider web at its prey, and it's named after Dizzy Dean.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
So you can find that at mlb.com/cut4. Claire, what do you got? What's one post you want the people to read?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm very, very excited on all the fresh talent coming over from Japan right now. So we've got a lot of posts on all of that, and I say go and read all of them because what else are you doing? It's the off season, and don't you want to see these sweet pitches that you haven't even seen yet?
That's a great point. Kenta Maeda is awesome. Definitely read that one. Claire wrote that post, so check that out, mlb.com/cut4. Also, you're listening to us on a podcast. That's what you're doing right now. I know it's weird that I know that, but you know, I know that you're listening. Let that blow your mind.
But while you're listening, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast, which you may have already done since you're listening to it. Mind blown.
I hate you.
But while you're there, you can write us a review, and we will read it on the Cut4Cast. 1 to 5 stars, whatever you like. If you have to write the review, obviously, for us to read it. The stars alone. We can't read stars. That sounds like a bad poem, but it is true.
It's the first single off of Heart War.
It's the first single off of Heart War, yeah. You can't read stars. But also, tell your friends if you like the Cut4Cast, because we appreciate that. And tweet at us all of your thoughts. Gemma, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Dakota.
Well, thank you for very sincerely saying thanks. And Claire, thank you for joining us as well.
Well, thank you. I can't match Gemma's sincerity, but I feel it deep in my heart.
Good. Thank you, Claire. I appreciate your sincerity as well. But most of all, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.